Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to this week's Living Torah. And it's exciting days around here. I've got, next week will be the last one of the videos we do for a few weeks, as Bezrat Hashem, God willing, I'll be in Israel with a couple, with 45 other men that are going over, I think it is. Some of them are already there to help prune the vines up in Samaria. And so there's a lot going on here to try to get ready. In the middle of that, Kathy and Daniel took off, went to Colorado for our grandson Chase's first birthday. And so they're heading back now, and maybe I can get a good meal here pretty soon, because I went to one of our local restaurants that say they have such wonderful popcorn chicken. I said, when the popcorn chicken and the tater tots, to let you know where I was, they taste the same, you think you need to go somewhere else. So, looking forward to them being back, not just for a good meal, but it's just been crazy around here trying to keep up with animals and everything else. And in the middle of that, in the midst of all of that, we're about to begin a new project around here. And this is going to be, I'm not going to be able to tell you everything that's going on yet. I'm in the process right now of building the website for it, and it's going to have to do with Israel, put it that way. It will be having to do with the land of Israel. To give you a bit of a little bit about it, one of the things we're doing on this trip is we're going to be taking some clothes over to Israel for the so-called, quote-unquote, settlers. And one of the things of our website is going to be to expose the media biases about stupid statements that they make. So maybe some of the newscasters will get a hold of that. Probably not. But so we're going to be taking some clothes over right now in the those areas of the so-called West Bank, the communities of up in Samaria. There is just, it's difficult. And I hope to give you through, we won't be doing, like I said, we won't be doing videos here, of course, because I'll be there. My plan while I'm there is to do a number of videos from their interviews of with different people in the land, and kind of get you, I know some of you have not been, some of you maybe have been, you'd like to go back, you can't right now, and so we're going to try the best of my ability to tie you, wherever you are, from New Zealand, South Africa, Canada, wherever, tie you to the land with this trip. And so that's my plan. I would appreciate your prayers in the next week that everything comes together for this. So it's very difficult in those areas. You think our economy is bad. Nothing compared to what they go through. And so we're working with some people right now to take some clothing over. Specifically on this trip is going to be baby clothing, newborn to 3 years old. And I've got, we're taking three suitcases at the moment, full of clothing, as much as we can put in there. The airline has told me so far that they're not going to charge us for those three bags as long as they're not over 50 pounds. If I get to the airport and they charge us, so what? We're going to take them anyway. So we're taking, God willing, about 150 pounds of baby clothing to be given away over in a couple of places. Can't really tell you exactly where yet. I will be able to pretty soon. And this is a project we're just starting to get off the ground, and probably going to go probably bigger, I would imagine, bigger than we know about right now. So, and just tell you, if you have some baby clothes around, if you have specifically women's clothing, and they're going to be requesting, all the way up to about size 16, I think it is what I was told. But if you have specifically baby clothing that you've got a couple of boxes of it, you don't know what to do with it right now, don't give it away, okay? And the rule is, as a pastor, I know that when somebody called me and they said, I have some things I'd like to donate to the church, that meant that they could not sell it in the garage sale, and that Salvation Army and Goodwill would not take it. So the rule is, if you will not put your children and your grandchildren in these things, don't send it. But for right now, just, if you want to go through some closets, start to package it up, box it up, and we're going to have to figure out how to get it to a central location. We're working on all that. And as soon as we do, this is going to be about a month or so away, I think. So You know, just make plans for that, and we will go from there, okay? So we leave the 12th of February for Israel, and be there for about 3 weeks, I think, in the land. So looking forward to the trip. It's so much is going through my mind right now regarding this trip and the project that I'm trying to put together between now and the time that I'll leave. I think it's going to be a great blessing to a lot of people. So with that, just ask you to pray for us, for me specifically, between now and then. And also, there's about a week left. If you'd like to send donations to get to Israel, we've had some a few people. We've had some people that have really given. It's been amazing, and that you know, those that's going to be helping in a lot of different ways while we're in Israel. So thank you for those of you who have given so generously. And in the coming weeks, I'm going to be challenging you in ways to give to Israel. And so I can't say a lot about that right now. Okay, let's get into the scriptures. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 14. I think it's a very appropriate verse for where we're at right now, specifically with the Torah portions, because this is going to tie into last week's Torah portion. I'm going to hope before I leave to get down to probably, verse 20, maybe. That's where we're going to try, and this will be between this week and next week. So, verse 14, you are the light of the world. He starts off, a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. And in order to understand this verse, we've got to understand, of course, the setting. Again, Messiah is on a hillside in the Galilee, the Galil region. And it is back to the context of what's going on. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali, toward the lake, beyond the Yarden, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. So for these people, this light is coming into their region, and now he is going to expound upon this concept of light. You are, and he now says to the people, you are the light of the world. Not a new concept to Judaism and to the Hebrews, not just Judaism, but Hebraic people. This is representation of all 12 tribes probably sitting there in front of him. This is not a new concept. It is kind of a new way of stating an old concept. Back to that in a moment. But it's very important to understand where he is. Now, if you don't have a map of Israel, I really challenge you to go on the web. In fact, maybe I can bring some back and we'll make them available. But go on the internet, and if you've got internet, if you're watching me here, you have internet, and just type in map of Israel. And you're going to see the setting of where he is on the north shore of the Galilee. And depending on where Messiah is standing and giving this message, I've always kind of pictured it from the times that I've been and the hillsides that we believe that he might have been. It would have probably been over his right shoulder that there was a city that is still there today. It's a city called Sfat or Safed. And it would have been, still is, kind of the high point of the, let's see, that would be the northwest region of the Galilee. From where he was standing, Safed would have been kind of off maybe to his right. And he would have been able to, and it doesn't take any imagination for me to think of him standing there and actually pointing to this city and saying, a city, let's make sure I'm in the monitor still, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And he was speaking specifically to that people and pointing to that city. And Safed was and still is a very interesting place because, and I remember a number of years ago, we actually went to Safed. I've only been there once, but I wanted to go for one specific reason. And that is that this was an area, this was the northernmost area in Israel that centuries ago, during the time of Messiah, the new moon signal fires would have been lit. And the northernmost signal fire, I'm told, through history, would have been from Safed. And Safed, okay, for those of you that don't know about the new moon, you need to go, I've got a CD on it. I'm just going to give you a little bit to refresh your memory here. When they looked out and they saw the new moon, when they deemed it to be the new moon, they would have come to the, there had to be two or three witnesses. They would stand before the Sanhedrin. It would be declared as the beginning of the month, because in that day, with not the calendars that we have right now, they would have been going on the, I believe, the sighting of the new moon. Okay, we have the Babylonian calendar, yes, but they would have also, from Jerusalem, been going off the sighting of the new moon. It's going to be all kinds of things going through people's minds on this, but just follow me for the sake of where we're at here, okay? And when they did, they would have lit a signal fire. Those signal fires would have gone from town to town in Israel, saying that the new moon has been sighted from Jerusalem. And that's why, for me, when we put out our new moon notification, I wait to receive notification from Israel. That's why in this month it was just kind of messed up, because this past month, because of cloud cover everywhere. That's why today it's called a season, the day that no man knows. Okay, goes back to what Yeshua said. But stay on track. Too many things going through, trying to teach five different things at one time. But they would have gone out, they would have seen that, and the signal fires would have gone out from Jerusalem. Okay, so that's why for today, while we have internet, we can wait. It's in Israel declared first, and then it's declared to the rest of the nations. That is, in a way, kind of tying us back to Israel is the center of the world, not Oklahoma or Winnipeg or wherever, you know, you may be. So that's the purpose for that. So this signal fire would have been lit, the northernmost, in this town of Safed. So Messiah is actually tying what he's saying right here to the first commandment that was given to the Hebrews, and tying their life to that city, to the new moon. Now, last week was the Torah portion that we actually would have gone through the first commandment, which was the sighting of the new moon and the declaration that this was to be the first of the month, the first of the year for you. And I received an email, which I do every week, from a gentleman in Israel. He's an Orthodox Jew. His name is Moshe Kempinski. Many of you know Moshe, or know of Moshe, if you've listened to me very long. Moshe and Dove run a shop in the Old City. God willing, we'll be seeing him in a couple weeks here, and hoping to surprise him. They run a shop called Shorashim, and that means roots. That's a Hebrew word for roots. So it's Shorishim, I think it is, .com. You can go to Bill Cloud's website, which is .org, and just type in .com, and it'll get you to Moshe and Dove's website. And so I received this in email form, and I'd like to just share with you a little bit about from Moshe's perspective. Understand, this is from the perspective of an Orthodox Jew living in Jerusalem regarding the light of the new moon. Okay, I'm just going to read through the whole thing. What we are to learn from this first commandment given to the people of Israel as a people, and it's Exodus chapter 15, starting verse 1, "And Hashem spoke unto Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This Hazeh month will be a beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." The word Hazeh, this is the word, is the word Hazeh, is very significant in our verse. The Midrash, and we're going to get into, you know, some of the rabbinic writings here, the Midrash metaphorically understands God's statement of this as a divine finger pointing toward the enlarged, the newly emerged sliver of a moon, and saying to Moshe, when you see the moon in this state, you must sanctify it as the head of all months. What was it so important? I think he meant to say, why was it so important that this commandment be declared at this delicate time before the leaving of Egypt? We also read a very dramatic statement in this context in the Talmud. Rabbi Yohanan says, whoever makes the blessing of the for the new moon in its proper time, it is as he receives the divine presence. And what do we teach about the new moon? It is at this time of the that Hashem opens the floodgates of his of heaven to give unto his people for the coming month. What do we need for the coming month? We need his presence. It ties right here. So why would that be? The children of Israel in Egypt were slaves. They had no control over time. In reality, we are all slaves to time. We all feel as if we're victims of the rushing river of time. Yeah, like it's February. At times we feel as we're being dragged forward into the unknown. And at times we emerge feeling overwhelmed and powerless. This is good. Ever since Adam and Eve were introduced to the specter of death, the time clock began to tick consistently and ominously. Remember the movie Castaway on that? In Hebrew, the word for time is zman, Z-M-A-N. Rabbi Moshe Shapiro in Jerusalem teaches that zman, or time, is from the same root word as the word hazmana, which means invitation. Time is not a raging river that carries us into the unknown. It is actually an invitation into an appointed destiny. Wow. Okay, how does this tie into this verse that, Messiah is teaching right here? If you didn't see that, let me read it again. Time is not a raging river that carries us into the unknown. It is actually an invitation into an appointed destiny. You are the light of the world. We're going to find that light is there to attract others into their destiny. The Hebrew slaves of Egypt had to be taught this truth. So God commands them to declare a new month. God is telling these people that he has given them the power to sanctify the month. Furthermore, it is not only about declaring the month's beginning, but it's about filling it with holiness and purpose. Their choice of sanctification also determines the arrival of the appointed feast days. They have been given this power over time by giving them the ability to fill time with meaning. Each one of us has the ability to take this ominous monster called time and fill it with meaning. What meaning? His light. Ties them together. Okay, I'm going to skip over that one. As we recite the blessing of during the time of the new moon, which says, praised are you, Adonai, our Elohim, King of the universe, who created the skies of his word with his word, and all heaven's host with the breath of his mouth. He is the true creator who acts faithfully, and he has told the moon to renew itself as a beautiful crown for the people carried by God from birth, who will likewise be renewed in the future in order to proclaim the beauty of their character for his glorious majesty. I think you're going to see in a moment how this ties together so incredibly right now. Finally, we're also taught another lesson. As we noted the statement by Rabbi Yohanan, whoever makes the blessing for the new moon in its proper time, it is as he receives the divine presence. And we must explain the reason for this. Rabbi Menachem Mendel of somewhere, I can't even pronounce the town, once asked his students, what language does God speak? One student said Hebrew. Another said all languages. And another said no language. Rabbi Menachem Mendel answered, you are all partially correct. Yet, man is the language of God. Man has been given the role of expressing godliness in the world. Just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, so too are the people of God directed to reflect the light of God. Even in the midst of the darkness of the night, when the light of the sun cannot be perceived, its reflection is presented by the moon, being a light of the world. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, simply means being a reflection of God's light in the world. Let's go back to Isaiah before we finish this. Let's go back to, I don't have anybody today to answer a phone. My email is going off. My phone is going off. Let me just kind of hit the button over. Where else do you get this, huh? Quiet. Go away. Phones. I knew that happened if I didn't take that off and shoot it today. Isaiah 42. Don't have time to go back today. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. I, Adonai, called you righteously. I took hold of you by the hand. I shaped you and made you a covenant for the people to be a light for the goyim. So Messiah is not really, this is not a new concept, but he's putting it into he's putting more into it right here as he's standing there talking to the people on the northern shore of the Galilee. Get to that in just a moment. I said too many things to discuss at the same time here. So many things are happening in the midst of these scriptures. This is what, simply means being a reflection of God's light in the world. That is the meaning behind Rabbi Yochanan's statement about receiving the divine presence. That is to say that receiving the divine presence is actually about reflecting it into the world, even in times of darkness and exile, to declare in the morning your loving kindness and your faithfulness at night. If you'd like to receive Moshe's weekly teachings, you can by going to shorashim.com. And I think it's send him an email or you can a link or something like that. All right. Torah, written to the Hebrew people. This is going to sound a little strange. Torah is very evangelical. And Messiah, in these words of you are a light to the world, a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. These are not new words. These are lost words to this people. And it's very important for us to understand the kind of light as is being brought out in this, in these, by these two rabbis, the kind of light that Yeshua is teaching the people about. Okay? At first glance, it would seem that he's trying to teach them about the light, that city's light. But I think that behind the scenes, those that would really get the concept of this would be the ones that would say, it is that city in which that fire for the new moon comes, and the light that he's talking about is the light of the moon. Because, interesting enough, as that light is up high, Messiah is down here in the valley, and he's actually saying, I'm not that light. I am of that light. Okay, he's pointing them. These are all kinds of things that are going on here. And some of this you're just going to have to stop and maybe later on think through a little bit more. Being the light of the new moon. like the moon, not just the new moon, but like the light of the moon. The moon is a rock, or okay, a dust or something up there. It just kind of goes around. There are times that you can't see it, there are times you can, there's times it's brighter, there's times it's dimmer, but there's not a single time during the month that the moon has its own light. It is merely a reflection of another light. And that's the light that we are called to be, is a reflection of His light. You know, interesting enough, when we're talking about the new moon, the times that it's not shining bright, or not shining, but it's not reflecting bright, is the times in which the earth, the world, is between it and the sun. What a lesson here. That the more of the world that we allow to be between us and Him, the dimmer our light is going to be. But as we seek to move that the world system out from between us, we're going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. So much going on here. Now, Judaism, for the most part, this is now the scriptures of Isaiah are spoken to Israel as a whole. Northern tribes, not much light going on there, was it? You know, I mean, they went off into what? Paganism? And they're no longer the light. Then enter into this Judaism, modern day Judaism. Why is Judaism not really fulfilling even some of the roles that are being spoken about right here? The rabbis and many Jews will acknowledge to you that Judaism is to be evangelical. And that word is not to be tied to the Baptist church, but it's a verb of what is going on. Judaism is to be a light that would spread into the nations. But why have they not been that? It's very simple, really, today. It's called fear. Because every time that, and there's been very few times, but whenever Judaism has allowed themselves to open their arms to other people, you know what's happened? They've been forced to convert, or they've been killed. The reason Judaism, for the most part, is not evangelical today is because of history. The reason that Judaism today in Israel is not willing to embrace you and I, who are, you know, who are pursuing Torah, sometimes at a level greater than some Jewish people are. Why is that? Because of what history has been. And so, let's don't be too quick to pass judgment upon what Judaism is today. Let's instead understand why Judaism is what it is today. Now, back to the scriptures. A city, you are the light of the world, a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. The light of a city cannot be hidden, but it can be perverted. Very important. Remember, later on, we will see that Satan comes not as an angel of darkness. He comes as an angel of light, a different light, a perverted light. He doesn't come always in with a, he doesn't ever come with a pitchfork and, you know, all that kind of stuff. He comes as an angel of light with something that's almost the truth, but not quite the truth. And I find another point very interesting in the setting here is that Messiah is speaking about this city called Safed or Sfat, which is where modern-day Kabbalism is taught from. Well, it's the birthplace of modern-day Kabbalistic thought. This is the Kabbalistic thought of people like Madonna and all this really, really goofy New Age stuff. If you go up to Safed, It is a very new age town. It's kind of the oxymoron on the Galilee, because the Galilee and the Golan, they're secular. There's some incredible religious as far as really Torah observant people up there, people of faith up on the Golan. And then you have this Mecca, really, of where Kabbalistic thought started on the Galilee, on the Galilee region. And so that city, it cannot be hidden, but light can be perverted. And how much, I mean, we start talking about Kabbalism, and you start talking about Christianity, and you start talking about all kinds of other things, and it's almost a truth of light. And Messianic is in many ways, in Hebrew roots, is in many ways not much different than this, because we've lost the true light of what the Scripture is to be, and have muddied it up and changed it into something that is not. We need to take this Scripture and look at where He's speaking and what He's speaking about, and understand that we are to be, for us to be the light of the world, we are to be a light that is only a reflection of who He is. Not a reflection of, you know, your imitation of Billy Graham or your imitation of this person or all of these different. We are to reflect who He is. In order to do that, we have to understand who He is to the best of our ability through an accurate study of His Word. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Likewise, when people light a lamp, they don't cover it with a bowl, but put it on a lampstand so that it shines for everyone in the house. When we have the true light, what He's saying to us is it should not be hidden. What has Judaism become today? It has in many ways become a kind of a private club. Okay? And I say this with all due respect for what Judaism is, because I understand history and I understand what has caused this to happen to Judaism, to the people, is because of fear, okay, of what they know has happened through the years. But it has become kind of a private club. If you wanted to convert to Judaism, you go to a rabbi, and I'm not in any way saying that you should do this, but if you wanted to do this, you would go, and the observant rabbinical authorities. This is what they're instructed to do. You go and say, I'd like to become Jewish. They turn you away. You go back, I'd like to become Jewish. They turn you away. They are told to turn the Gentile away three times. Why? Because they understand what it means to be Jewish. They understand the hurts. They understand the killing. They understand the history of what has happened when a person becomes part of Judaism. Private club. Well, you know, we would never do something like that. Oh, yeah? I mean, my grandparents were Church of Christ. Talk about a private club. You know, if you're not baptized in their church by one of their elders, then you can't go to heaven. It's kind of a private club. That's not the Scripture. Well, we in this Hebrew Roots movement, we would never do those things. Oh, yeah? You know, it's amazing how many, and I will not name names of organizations, but how many organizations that do conferences that they don't invite me, they don't invite, you know, this person, this person, this person. Why? Because we won't join their club. And if you don't put your name on and join their club and be a part of their little club, then you can't be invited. You're going to have to take your toys to a different sandbox. How tragic this whole thing is. I don't believe that is the concept that Yeshua is talking about right here. Okay, this verse of verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before people. Okay, he's saying in the same way, he is tying verse 16 to verse 15. Verse 15, when people light a lamp, they don't cover it with a bowl, but put it on a lampstand so that it shines for everyone in the house. In this same way, let your light shine for other people. It's not your light. When we understand the concept of the new moon, it's not the moon's light. And the light that we are to shine before men is not our light. We don't own that light. We are simply a reflection of another light. And so how arrogant is it for people, well, this is my light, and nobody else can have any. That's what this thing of a person who lights a lamp in a house. You know, we don't have lamp. We have light bulbs, okay? So we're not, a light bulb kind of shines everywhere. Okay, it's not the same. I meant to grab a candle. But it's, well, here, I'll just use the old lighter here. It's like a lamp in that they would have been dealing with. If I can get this out of my pocket while I'm sitting down. A lamp they would have been lighting in that day. I've seen these in Israel. It's a very small bowl with olive oil and a little bit of a wick. And it's maybe that much light. Usually less than that much light. And so what could a person do? They could say, the light's mine. I'm not sharing this light with anybody else. This is my light, and you can't have any. And literally, if you were in a room, and I was to do this, like I am, with this light here, you wouldn't be receiving any light. And that is where I see so many people today. That it's my light, and you can't have any. It's just over here for me. I have this prophecy, I have this word, and I'm not sharing it with you. I have these blessings, and I'm not sharing it with you. It's my light. And Messiah is saying it's not your light. You're to put it out here for... You're to put it out here for everyone to enjoy. His light is given to us so that we may reflect it onto others. It's like an old friend of mine used to tell me over and over again, life is not about you. The light is not about you. The blessings you receive are not about you. They're about others. And the scripture clearly tells us, freely you have received, freely give. If you find yourself in a position today that you're not receiving, maybe it's because you haven't been giving. And I'm not talking right now about money. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about, I'm not actually talking about your time. I'm talking about giving of yourself as a person. See that light. We are to be reflections of His light. And what too many people do is they just go, well, it's just my light, and I'm not going to share it with anybody else. Why? The reasons, there are a multitude. Many of them go back to the same reason that Judaism is not real interested in being a light anymore. You know, you go out there, you be that light, and you get hurt a few times. Well, I'd just soon not be much of a light anymore. I'll just kind of, you know. If you're not receiving more light, if you're not receiving His light in abundance, it's not His fault. Okay? The sun, it does the same thing kind of all the time. If we got the moon and the earth over here, This is what needs to come in or out of alignment. Maybe it's because we haven't been reflecting. And so that world has been placed kind of in the middle, so we don't have as much light to reflect. We're not receiving as much. this goes into, like I said, goes into so many different places. Hope it's making, I feel like I'm kind of, just, that's the way I am, trying to say too many different things at the same time, probably. We freely receive His light, His blessings. We should freely give of His light and of His blessing. It's like a conduit. Okay, if you've ever worked with plumbing, you want a piece of pipe. You want to use a piece of pipe that is very, very smooth on the inside. Think of your plumbing in your house. Okay, water goes in, water comes out the other. Think of your kitchen sink. You turn on that water, and what do you want to have happen? You want that water to just flow right on through. But if something happens and something gets stuck in that pipe, it clogs up, and the water can't flow. Our desire should be that we are like that smooth pipe, that we continually allow Him to clean that pipe so that His blessing can flow. The pipe really gets no benefit from the blessing. It's all to give to others. It's all to be for others. That's another way of putting this whole thing. So, in that same way, let your light so shine before people that they will see your good works. Here I'm speaking that in King James and reading in the complete Jewish Bible. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they may see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. All right. This is where it really comes down to, defining words. We can look at this and go, well, the good work, let your light so shine before men, they will see your good works. Well, what works are there? There's all kinds of good works going on around us today. I don't want to get really into that, but this is speaking of a specific kind of work. Okay, not just kind of arbitrary things. Messiah would have been speaking Hebrew on the north shore of the Galilee. I believe he was probably speaking Hebrew. I don't think he was speaking Greek. I don't think he was speaking English. And I don't even think he was speaking Japanese. I think he was speaking Hebrew. And he would have said this. And I will just give you two words here. That they may see, and go back to the King James, your good works. These two words would have been tov mitzvot. The good works that are in the Torah. When we do the things in the Torah, when we, observe the new moon, Rosh Chodesh, when we then observe the feasts and festivals, when we do these things, we should be doing them in such a way that it is so that others may see them, and I'll get to a little bit more of that in a moment, that others may see what we are doing. All right? We're not over here in a little corner by ourselves, but we're there so that others may see. And this light, remember, is this is how the light is to shine, by allowing others to see the Tov Mitzvot of the Torah. Not by beating them up. It's not about going to the next table in the restaurant, you dirty, stupid sinner, you're eating pork. That's not the way to do it. It's not the way, standing on the street corner with the, repent or go to hell. That's not what the Scripture is talking about when it talks about light. Being a light is to take the positive things, the commandments that are within the Torah. You can go to our website, go under study hall, and I'm revamping right now. It's not going to be done for a few weeks, but I'm revamping that whole study hall area to make it a little bit easier to navigate. You can go on there, and there are the 613 commandments of the Torah. There's also the 1,050 of the Renewed Covenant. Okay, so we've got like 1,800 commandments. Some of those are on the negative side. Some of those are on the positive side. Negative things are like, you know, do not kill. All right. If you want to be a good witness for him, for his light, you know, not killing is a good thing. Okay. So let's kind of throw those to the side here. This is not what it's talking about. He says, look at those things that are positive. Like, you know, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. The Shema. Eating kosher. You know, observing the feasts and festivals. Giving of yourself. Giving to the orphan. Giving to the widow. And the list goes on and on and on. And do those things not for your own glory. Very important. So that they may see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. Here's where many organizations and people get all confused, because we start shining the light. You know, we start out to go back to the moon, that little sliver. Okay, well, actually, it would be this on this side. It'd be right to left because it's Hebrew. So for me, it's this side. For you, it's this side. Okay, and it grows and grows and grows. Through the month, we look up and we see the moon. And it starts to become brighter and brighter and brighter. Well, eventually, what happens? It becomes full. And in our way of looking at the moon, being a total reflection can be a good thing, and it can be a bad thing. If we forget where the light's coming from, the moon, the full moon, can be a reminder of our pride. Somehow we think that the light is ours, and that's why the moon then begins to wane. It's a process that happens month after month to teach us, to remind us where that light comes from, and that the light is only to be a reflection of the sun, the reflection of him, and that we are never to receive the glory for any of it, but that we are to do these things in order that people may praise our Father in heaven. Some of you can probably be able to correct me on this, but I did a quick search on it this morning, and I can't find the word "of," which is the word "father" here, connected to the person of Hashem in before here. Maybe it is, and I just glanced over and didn't see that one. I believe this is the first time in Scripture that the person of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is being referred to. Now, of course, it's all through the Torah. It's you know, I can go through all kinds of scriptures and find the principle, the concept of it. But I believe this is the first time that it is being brought out so clearly of connecting the person of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh with Av specifically. Okay. And so, these people standing there, sitting there on the Galilee, are being taught, life is not about you. Life is just like that city up there, and the purpose of that city is not to shine its light for itself, but it's to be a light so that others can be attracted to the Father who is in heaven. And we get into the concept of the Father in heaven, and that goes on to a whole other area, which I'm not going to go to today. So we're going to kind of cut it off right there. I've given you so many different ways, so many different areas. It's kind of been jumbled, I know. I realize that. Sorry, that's, you know, my head is going in 500 different directions. I keep thinking maybe one of these days it won't be, but at that That dog ain't going to hunt. It's just what we get. So, again, thank you for praying for us for the next, in these next weeks as we get ready to go to Israel. I am so excited about this time. I cannot tell you. The only thing is I wish that I could take all of my family and your family and everybody else over there. It's just it's not something we can do on this trip. Maybe in the future we'll put together something even more. But I just feel like the Father is doing some incredible, giving us some incredible opportunities right now. And it's time to seize the moment with those opportunities. Taking some bags of clothes over to Israel. What are we doing? We're fulfilling the scripture that I've been speaking of today, that Yeshua taught us of being a light. There'll be some stories that come out of this that some of them I'll be able to share with you. Some of them I probably won't be able to. Right now, I'm not even going to tell you. I can't really tell you where this is going to. There's a lot of things. One, it's not that we're trying to keep the light as ours, but there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in this ministry and in many other ministries that I know that you just can't talk about. Because if you do, it becomes, you get shut down. There's a possibility you can get shut down. But it becomes kind of something it's not supposed to be. There are times that you got to do things kind of a little covert nature. And then you see where it goes from there. So I can tell you what we're doing is making a difference already, even though we're not even there. So wish I could say more. Just can't. With that, Shavuot Tov. Have a wonderful, blessed, and prosperous week. And I'm going to get this thing encoding and get back to my computer and stare at it for a few more hours and see if I can get all the website stuff done. So once again, Shavuot Tov. See you next week. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai Panavelecha Ve'asem lecha Shalom.